I'm just going to say that I'm Elvira, and I work with Dr. Chidi Okando in Nigeria, and we work for the same company, so that's what we need to disclose. The purpose of this presentation is to show some of the work that community health workers have started to do in support of the basic interventions that we all want, including immunization. So that's why I thought this was a perfect example. A little bit about the situation in Nigeria. You're not familiar. It's a very big country. It's 170 million people. Imagine the U.S. in 1955. That's more or less the same population. So it's sometimes people think, oh, things, so many things don't work. Well, it's a very big country. And imagine just in the 50s how many things didn't work in the U.S. So and now, thankfully to technology, many things are changing at very very fast pace. Still at a community level, we need to remember that a physician density is very low, 0.4 per 1,000 people, nurses and midwives 1.6. Community health workers have been in different shapes and forms, have been trained by different projects and in different waves to try to sort of bridge the gap in the lack of human resources, but there's still very few. That's why life expectancy in Nigeria is 52, mostly because infant mortality, as you can see, is very high. So although people tend to live longer because the high mortality is so high, the average is that life expectancy is short. Maternal mortality is still very high, and the health system is ranked 187 out of 191. So you see they're right there at the bottom. So they have great challenges, and the health staff are the ones that are carrying the load. So, how do you implement some of the interventions that we need based on the availability of community health workers? The use of community health workers has been identified as one strategy to address the growing shortage of health workers in low-income countries, particularly in Nigeria. There's robust evidence that that community health workers can undertake actions that lead to improved health outcomes. So, although they can implement effective interventions, the quality of the health interventions they provide is sometimes poor. So, for community health workers to make an effective contribution, they must be carefully selected, appropriately trained, supervised, linked to the supporting facility. You cannot just have community health workers there working on their own. They need to be linked to some facility that supports them. And also, the flow of information needs to flow from the community to the facility, so the facility knows how many people are there that need services and how many are in touch with the community health worker. And particularly, the community health workers need to be made proud of their contribution. Most of the time, they're not really acknowledged and feel that they are really serving the community and feel they're competent enough to handle the big problems that they have to face. So, we created a program that we call Empowerment and Ownership, sorry for the typo, and the idea was to participate, to help community health workers participate in the design, implementation, evaluation of the programs that they implement, and to participate also in the tracking of their own improvements, so they can see that they are moving forward and their communities are moving forward, and to be able to account for their own achievements. So there's different kinds of community health workers in Nigeria. You have the community health officer, or known as the CHO, and then you have the community health worker, community health education worker, known as the CHU. Then you say people, I'm a CHU, I'm a CHO. And then you have also community health volunteers. The first two are paid. The community health volunteer is not paid. It's a community volunteer in the community. Then you have, of course, the traditional birth attendants. You have community development also initiatives that have community health workers. You have also, as part of HIV/AIDS program, you have home-based HIV/AIDS caregivers. And in each village and villages together form a ward, you have a village development committee, and then you have a ward development committee. And these are leaders that look at the whole community and coordinate all these resources. So, what we wanted to see is how to really create country-led development. So they are the ones that are in the community. So how can we help them start a program? So we looked at the community health workers in a ward, and we asked them, okay, if you could only do 10 things, what would be those 10 things that your community needs? And so through several iterations, the list started very long, and then we could get it to this. And then we ranked them. And so hand washing was number one. Then antenatal delivery and postnatal, because you saw maternal mortality, so that was good. Using the bed nets. They had just been given millions of bed nets, and some people were not using them. Malnutrition is very high. 40% of the children are malnourished. So exclusive breastfeeding and proper nutrition came next. Routine immunization. There's been a lot of effort in polio eradication. In fact, India has eradicated polio so far. They're doing very well. But Nigeria has the most cases of wild polio virus that recorded. So they're right there. And so there's been a lot of effort to really eradicate polio and concentrate it in Nigeria. And that has been at the expense of the regular routine immunization system, because when the health workers out there doing polio, they're not doing the other things they're supposed to do in the health facilities. And that also applies to community health workers in their different varieties. So that's a big problem. So they wanted to really encourage people to get to the usual routine immunization and not wait for the polio vaccine to come to their houses. It's just you have to get into the routine of going to the health center, because when you go to the health center, and you not only get your vaccines, you get education, you get vitamin A, you get other things. You get the mother can also get services for herself, family planning, antenatal care. Then birth spacing and family planning was very important. And malaria prevention, and thank you, and diarrhea. Lack of water is a big problem. People who have to walk, especially women, have to fetch water. And then smoking cessation. It was very interesting to see that people are smoking, and they were worried that in the future people can get cancer as they're starting to get older. Then we put this into a sample chick list. And then what they did is that basically they kept this list in their pocket. And when they go to a house, they go through the list. And sometimes they go as far as one or two. Sometimes they can go further. And their idea is to just keep that list and start a conversation with the family and see how far they can go in every visit. So we kept it very simple. And it's a simple list of tasks to be achieved and defined. We define what it means to address each of those topics, and they defined it what it was. Then they carried it around in their pockets, as opposed to some big flip charts and things like that people, the project sometimes developed. This is handier, easier for them, and it's also very low tech, and they allows for consistency. So they go through those 10 things every time, every day. And everybody's doing the same thing, because they all agreed to do the same thing. It also, we noticed that it prevents action paralysis, because sometimes they are so overwhelmed by all the things they have to be done that they finally stay home and do nothing. So if you just have something simple to get started and go out there, then you start to also apply other things they've been trained to do. It's very participatory, because everybody agreed on what to do. We didn't tell them anything. We agreed it required minimal training, and we deployed it in a couple of days. So this is a sample, because I have only 2 minutes left. We took each of those things and we said, what does it mean to, what is quality hand washing? And then how would you teach somebody to wash their hands? So they agreed, okay, we're going to smile and greet the patient as if it were your guest in your house. So friendliness and building trust and building relationship was very big. And then you introduce yourself, then you show, you demonstrate, because we also wanted the community health worker to learn to wash their hands properly. How they would teach, and then what the actual procedure of quality hand washing was going to be. And we applied that to the others too. Then we said, okay, how are we going to measure if you're actually doing that? How are we going to count? So they agreed on these 9 indicators. So basically, they count how many children were born and then how many of those are actually being exclusively breastfed. And they started with 1 and 2, then the following month they started to add more, and then they started to build their own charts, and I'm almost done. Well, I'm done. Yeah, great. And what I wanted to show you is that these were just basic counts, and they're not real indicators, but it became their weekly scorecard. It became a tool that they can see, okay, look, last week I visited 2 children, and this week I visited 3, and they're all exclusively breastfed, and so I'm doing pretty well. And that ability of giving themselves their own feedback really helped a lot. We don't have the evaluation yet, but I just wanted to share with you that things are going well, and this is a simple tool that I think you can adapt to anybody. And basically, we didn't do all the work. We just asked questions, and they did it themselves. So I think community health workers can do a lot more to be empowered and to really own their programs. So I hope you try it and have fun.